Smash your FM radio. Indy 100 rocks.
Everybody, it's Tyrone Tan here on StarRoseEntertainment.tv and Indy100.com Radio and UBN. And I just want to say thank you to all the listeners from around the world that have been tuning into my show. And because of you guys, I get to do what I do. And I'm always grateful and appreciative of all you guys' listenership. We're going to have a jam-packed show today if you're into some great independent films or just films in general. We have some great filmmakers and producers coming into the studios and actors and actresses. But before that, we want to do a couple little plugs. Again, if you want to see a lot more celebrity interviews or back archive shows, go to our main production website, which is at www.starroseentertainment.tv. That's www.starroseentertainment.tv. Also, if you want to see our in-studio guest photos of our lovely guests of the hour, Amy Williams, my dear friend, Jennifer Titus, a new friend, and my guest co-host, Bradley Beavers. Go to our Facebook page over on Star Wars Entertainment, STAUROS Entertainment over on Facebook. And if you want to hit me up on Twitter or Instagram, that's at Tyrone Tan, T-Y-R-O-N-E, T-A-N as in Nancy, N as in Nancy. And then on Instagram, Tyrone Tan Official. And also, if you have any questions or comments or like the music we're going to be playing today, email me at tyrone.indy100@gmail.com. That's tyrone.indy100@gmail.com. And I think that's pretty much it. So what we're going to be doing, we're going to be bringing in our guest co-host of the hour. And we've always been rotating great guest co-hosts. So I always want to say thank you to all the lovely guest co-hosts that we've had on the show through the seasons. And without further ado, I'm going to be bringing in a new guest co-host for this show, actor Bradley Beavers. Welcome, man.
Thank you for having me.
Awesome. Great. Cool, man. First time here.
Yes. Thank you. I'm so grateful.
I know you've been too good for us to come on before.
Never.
So cool, man. For the audience, just talk a little bit about yourself. We're going to be bringing the guest of the hour, and just want to give a little plug for you. Talk a little bit about yourself, where you're from, and all that stuff.
Okay, well, I'm actually from...
okay, and we got enough time. We got to move on.
I'm actually from Northwest Arkansas. Actually, tomorrow, it'll be a year of being out here.
Awesome.
So I'm pretty blessed to have that opportunity to come out here, and you know, I've been able to meet some pretty amazing people like yourself to help me along the road in this year that I've been out here.
Awesome, cool. And obviously actor.
Yes, actor. And then I was a college football player. I've been actually blessed to do quite a bit of stuff.
Awesome. Well, cool. And I think you just told me was it your commercial today with Peter Berg?
Yes. I actually just did a commercial today. I actually got booked for it tomorrow too.
Awesome.
And my first commercial actually. And the director is Peter Berg.
Awesome. Well, congratulations. It's always great to see. For me, I always love it when someone's out here and they're doing their thing, and that's why I always kind of want to, you know, you surround yourself with hopefully good people, and, you know, I always like to try to, you know, see what I could do along the way, and I'm proud that you're able to take these baby steps, and I think you'll have hopefully a cool, bright future, and hopefully you will return our calls next time and and not be too good. You know, I'm teasing. So, Brad, I don't know by any chance... Now, I don't know if you know, the guest co-host of the hour. I don't know if you got the memo. Did you get the memo?
Yeah.
Well, the memo is the guest co-host, one of the duties is we talk about some movie reviews. Have you seen any movies lately?
Actually, I just posted a picture of going to see a movie with you the other day. It was Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Awesome. Yeah. So, we got to see that. We got to see that together. I saw it already several times. And, first off, before I give your little intake, I'm going to do a little quick little synopsis here. Thanks to IMDb. It's, here it goes, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, rated R. A faded television actor and his stunt double strive to achieve fame and success in the film industry during the final years of Hollywood's golden age in 1969 in Los Angeles. directed and written by the awesome Quentin Tarantino, starring my longtime dear friend Leonardo DiCaprio and the awesome Brad Pitt, Margot Robbie. There's a plethora. Emile Hirsch, Margaret Qualley, Timothy Olyphant, Julia Butters, Austin Butler, Dakota Fanning, Bruce Dern, Luke Perry, Al Pacino, Nicholas Hammond. A lot of great people. What did you think?
Oh, I thought it was awesome. When you have that dynamic of a cast, it's kind of hard to have a movie that doesn't succeed.
Yeah. So, I mean, what was your first? Is it what you thought, what you expected, or what was your knee jerk reaction?
Honestly, what I expected was
giving any spoilers too.
Yeah, what I expected was just three different, I guess, performers in three different walks of life, and that's not at all what the movie was.
Okay.
It definitely blew me away. It definitely was something that I will continue and go back and watch again. I've actually watched it for the second time last night.
Awesome. Well, yeah. And what was it? What was the biggest highlight for you? Again, without, if you can talk without giving away a spoiler, what was the highlight for you? That
the biggest highlight.
Was it a performance? Was it the?
Leonardo DiCaprio. He is someone that I hope to one day have a career like, because he just always puts on a great performance. It's hard to explain what he like, how he moves the audience, and he gets the audience engaged. And I think that's the most impressive thing about this movie.
Yeah, I would say I think the performances is what, you know, I think everyone's, my personal opinion, I loved everyone's performances. Leo and Brad did good, great. I don't know. I mean, I really, that's what I think. I didn't know what to expect the first time I saw it, and then, seen it a couple times now. I'm really more just immersed with just the performances with a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And actually, the storyline is pretty good as well. You don't expect it to be what it is. But, I actually had to watch it for the second time to realize and, like, truly pick up on some things that were in the movie that I missed the first time.
So, obviously, it's doing quite well. So, for those that have not seen it, is this something you would highly recommend checking out in the theaters, waiting till Blu-ray? What do you think?
Oh, 10 out of 10. Go check it out in theaters, and then go and grab the DVD, Blu-ray, whatever you are going to see it
on. All right. Well, cool. And, I say the same thing. I got to see this, and... I agree. I mean, check it out in the theaters. I got to see it 70mm as well. And, obviously, I think either way you could do it. But I got to see it in both different versions of, standard ways. And I don't know. I mean, I know it was kind of maybe intended to be made, shown on 70mm. Either way, it's a good movie. So if you can, check it out. Support the film. I like the movie. Again, it's a Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, rated R. Again, directed by and written by Quentin Tarantino, starring Leonardo DiCaprio, Brad Pitt, and Margot Robbie, and a plethora of great actors and actresses. All right. So I don't know, by any chance, did you get the other memo? The other memo, we find ways of making the guest of the hour... You find ways to make them feel special by bringing them in on certain, arranging certain things, such as sometimes you bring in a guest on limos, Millennium Falcons, gliders, anything like that. By any chance, did you find or did you arrange a way to make our lovely guests of the hour? Did you arrange a way to, how are you going to bring them in into the studio? Do I have to go to Plan B?
Yeah, I actually had to go to Plan B. I looked up a couple ways to bring them in, and you know what? Everything was closed down.
Well, Brad, I'm not gonna. I won't rely on you next time. But luckily, we're gonna go to Plan B. And you know what? One of these people coming in is a very dear friend, very sweet woman, beautiful woman to me, and a beautiful hearted person. So I thought we should bring them in, and the other person who is coming in as well, equally just as beautiful and sweet. I think we should bring him in on the classic horse and carriage.
You think so?
Like Cinderella-ish type, They're both kind of princesses, so to speak, in my eyes. So I'd say we should arrange that way. That's why I kind of had the backup. I don't know if you saw the carriage back there.
Yeah. I was wondering why.
Okay, so what we're going to do, all you got to do, when we're going to open that back door, and then you're just going to, you're going to whistle. You're going to whistle to the horses, and then we're going to bring them in on a, in the horse and carriage into the studio, okay? So when I open that door, you tell me when you're ready. Okay, ready? Okay, when you bring him in, you whistle when you're ready. All right. Here they come into the studio on the horse and carriage, Cinderella style. Here they come. Oh, my gosh. They're waving. They got the fanfare going. All these people. First off, we have my dear friend. She is a producer as well as a director. She's done films from Rock, Paper, Scissors, Hunter's Moon, Mothers and Daughters. Here she comes. She's waving to the crowd. Her name is Amy Williams, and alongside her, also, she's an actress, beautiful actress, also from the movie Rock, Paper, Scissors, The Row, Zombies, Super Gator, coming out, Jennifer Titus. They're coming off the carriage. Oh, all these people are throwing numbers and roses, and oh my gosh, what's going on? Guys, I don't know if they're taken or what, but anyways, they're coming down. Here they come off the carriage again. Producer Amy Williams and actress Jennifer Titus. Welcome to StarRoseEntertainment.tv, Indie100.com Radio, and UBN. Welcome, lovely ladies.
Thank you. What a ride.
That was so great.
What awesome. A great entrance.
Yeah. It was lovely. Oh, wait. I think I left my crystal slipper back
in the some guy, I don't know. We got to close the door, guys. I don't know. They'll talk to you guys later.
It was left on the stairs.
Yeah. Welcome, Amy and Jennifer. StarRoseEntertainment.tv, Indie100.com Radio, and UBN. Finally here.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for having
us. Good evening, lovely people.
And Brad, thank you for arranging. Well, not arranging that, actually. I had to go to Plan B, thanks to you.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that.
Cool. Well, Amy, we've been talking for a while to finally get you here, and now you're here.
I'm here, yes. it's so nice to be here.
Awesome. And Jennifer, thank you for coming.
Thanks
so
for having
me.
So
we always want the audience to get to know you guys, if not fans, become fans even more so. So we always want to start off with this question. We'll start off with Amy. Where are you born and raised?
I was born in Memphis, Tennessee, and then I was brought to the city, New York City, when I was about one.
Awesome. And Jennifer Titus, where are you born and raised?
I was born in Fresno, California, and moved to Orange County. And I've been there ever since.
Awesome. Now, did you know, Amy, growing up, that you always wanted to be in the entertainment industry, be a filmmaker, a producer, or when was the time that you knew this is what you wanted to do?
Well, I used to mop hallways for this lady, Dinky. I mopped and swept 5 stairs, and I'd get $3, and I'd go to the St. Mark's Theater and watch like 4 movies in a row with the money. And I loved the first time I was watching a screen, I felt such instant, just, I was possessed. I when I went to a movie theater, that was when it really, the seats, the whole, how it just sort of gulps you in, you know what I mean? It was like, it brought me into the screen. When I sat into a movie, I could escape from all the stuff that was going on with me because I had a lot of stuff going on with me. So the theater was an escape. Wow. And I wasn't allowed TV at home. I saw television a couple of times, like The Night Stalker, my dad would have that on, or MASH. He watched that every night. And I thought, when the first time I went to a movie theater, I saw Tommy, which I don't think that was good for a 10-year-old. And I saw Night of the Living Dead at the house.
Oh, wow.
And that was how my intro to horror began.
Wow, so you were not allowed to watch TV, but you're allowed to go watch horror films.
Well, my dad was brain injured, and he'd be watching these crazy shows. And one night he said, look at this movie we're watching. And I sat with him, and my brother and I were horrified. It was Night of the Living Dead. But at the same time as having an outer body experience of terror, it was so fascinating to me. I was so engrossed. I couldn't stop watching it, and I was traumatized, but then I wanted more.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, now, Jennifer Titus, did you know growing up that you always wanted to be an actress?
I did. I did my first commercial for Yamaha Music School when I was 4 years old, and they fed me the lines and the lights and all the cheering behind the camera when the camera was shut off. Everybody just thought that this little four-year-old was so cute and adorable, and I thought, well, all I said was one line, but this is really fun. I'll keep doing this over and over. So I did a few local commercials, and after that, that was it. Just every time I got on stage at school performances, it was like, boom, this is where I need to be.
Wow. And Amy, were there any inspirations for you as a producer filmmaker before you know, before getting into the field, so to speak? Was anyone insightful
well,
watching movies?
Well, as damaged as my dad was, he was a philosophy professor, and he used to make films with William Eggleston in Memphis. They even recorded stuff that I was never. I have a beat up old reel somewhere, but William Eggleston is a famous photographer, and he was very close with my dad, and he's like an uncle, and they shot some footage. So I didn't realize until my dad was older how much he loved film, but I guess I got that. He would watch a lot and talk about books, who composed what film, who, and I was a late bloomer because I was a young mother, and as I started to really see films in my 20s, I went to the theater every weekend.
Wow. Yeah.
Like a psycho. It was a drug of choice.
Now, for you, Jennifer Titus, was there any inspirations for you as an actress that made you want to get into the acting field? I know you kind of like discovered it while you were young, but I mean, was there any actresses or actors that where you're like, I want to be like them, so to speak?
Yeah, I mean, I think like a lot of young girls, when they see The Wizard of Oz, we all fall in love with the Dorothy character. And I thought to be transformed into a different land like that and have, like what Amy mentioned, having the audience just be captivated and be taken away for an hour and a half or however long the movie is, that's the magic of film. I fell in love with it at an early age. And I had a film appreciation class when I was in seventh grade. And starting from the very beginning of film, I was fascinated by how film started and why audiences went to see films in the first place. You know, during the Depression, people had nothing, but yet they would, you know, gather just enough money to be able to go and escape and be entertained at the movie theater. And I just felt like, oh, I want to be one of those people to provide entertainment for others.
Wow. And what was the point? Oh, no, you're going
to
say something.
What I wanted to say, I sort of miss what I wanted to say is my father. I was inspired by my father, even brain injured. But the filmmakers that I loved were Scorsese, was The Bronx Tale, I even loved Basketball Diaries when I was younger. But I loved, you know, Dangerous Liaisons. I watched everything, and I would watch those on television, but I loved Tarantino.
Wow.
I love Tarantino. Mm-hmm. I love Reservoir Dogs. You know, that was one of the first films that I really said, holy smokes. I love Tarantino. That's a huge influence of mine. And Scorsese.
Which is interesting because Michael Madsen, who was in your last film, was obviously in most of the you know, Tarantino films. So was that kind of surreal for you? I know we all kind of have those moments. Was that a surreal moment to have someone that you kind of grew up watching? And then
it's ironic. I mean, I knew Matt Dillon when I was a kid, and I still do, and he's a friend. But I knew a lot of people, the Beastie Boys and those. I was a late bloomer because I have to say this. I was struggling with addiction, with alcoholism. And I got sober. I was a young mother. And when I got sober, I went to film school.
Oh.
And suddenly I put that together and I made my first documentary, and it won at the Hamptons, The Golden Starfish. And I realized I was a filmmaker. The first time I stood behind a camera and I started talking to talent and putting a story together, I never felt more in tune with myself in my life, ever.
Wow.
And I sort of had a drawing to it as a young child, but I was really broken. And it took me a while to put the pieces together. But my father was my first inspiration because all he ever did was talk about music and film, even with his brain injury. And then I saw these films. I mean, A Bronx Tale, I saw Al Pacino in, you know, Scarface. I mean, let's face it, it was a masterpiece.
Yeah.
I loved all of it. And I loved The Shining.
Mm. And so Jennifer,
I like Kubrick. He's, you know.
Yeah.
I like dark.
Yeah, okay.
And my father liked Harold Pinter. It made him feel better. So we definitely are similar in that way.
Believe it or not, I saw The Shining when I was 10 years old, hiding behind a pillow in the dark with my friend.
Yeah.
Jennifer, what was the point in your life, what was that pivotal point where you said, I think I'm going to be able to do this for the rest of my life, or this is what I want to do for the rest of my life? Was there, I know you started early, but I mean, was that one point where like, I'm going to do this. This is what I'm going to do.
Yeah. I would say, I got a role playing a, I was a sophomore in high school, got a role on Sweet Valley High, a show long ago.
My friends were Brittany and Cynthia.
Yeah. So I was guest star on that show, and I thought, this is so much fun, and I had so much fun with the cast. It was super enjoyable, and I thought, you know what? This is it. This is really what I want to do, and I started taking acting seriously, started taking acting classes at about that time, and I think that, I mean, I grew up as a competitive figure skater, performing and competing, and I went on tour as a professional when I was 18. So I continued to perform, but there was a lot of acting that started creeping in more and more. And I started doing commercials during that time, and I felt like, God, I just love performing. But being on camera is really where I felt most comfortable after a while. You know, being an actor, as all of you actors out there, it can be really tough to support yourself, and you always need kind of a backup career or backup plan. My backup plan, I started when I was in college. I was studying physio neuroscience at UC San Diego, but at the same time I was getting a minor degree in theater, and so I was kind of keeping myself balanced between science and you know, acting and performing. And I went on to medical school, graduated, and as soon as I finished my last day of medical school, I went and went right back to Hollywood and started acting again.
Wow.
Did a Roger Corman film, two back-to-back Roger Corman films, and I felt like, you know, should I go back to medicine? Should I keep acting? And people are thinking, wait a minute, you have a medical degree and you're on set doing what?
Yeah.
Are you crazy? So I kind of balanced that for a while in my head. Like, well, I don't have a license yet. I have a degree, but you can't practice without a license. So I left Hollywood altogether after a few years, went back to residency, came back, passed the national board exam, and I am a licensed physician. And I knew the whole time, as soon as I received my license, I was going right back into filming right again. So I always have that on the back burner if I ever need to. But I decided absolutely 100%, this is where I want to be. The happiest place in the world for me is being on set.
So have you ever been hired as the set medic on the same film you've been working on? No, that's not.
Funny you ask, because I've had a couple roles as a nurse.
Really?
Yes. And not that there's anything wrong with playing a nurse. I love playing anything in the medical profession. But it's funny because I've had to actually take a step back and correct a couple people's pronunciations of some medical terminology. And they're like, how do you pronounce this again? Oh, okay, yeah, thank you. Wait, hang on a second, your stethoscope's backwards. There you go. Okay, go on. Go be your doctor role.
Now, before we cut to a break, Brad Beavers, you have any questions on the early careers of Amy Williams or Jennifer Titus before we get into the nitty gritty?
You know, honestly, I'm just so happy to be in front of you guys. you guys are so talented, and I'm just grateful that, you know, Tyrone asked me to be here today.
You're so charming.
Any questions, though, like about the early parts of the careers before we?
I mean, really, so when you went to film school, And you just knew, like, right there and then, like, hey, like, I'm supposed to be a filmmaker. How did that make, like, did you just know, like, this is what I want to do for the rest of my life? Or was it, like, I like to do it, I want to keep pursuing it. If opportunities keep opening up, then that's great. Or was it just something, like, you were just head on?
I think I was just in survival mode for a long time. And then once my daughter was old enough and I had another baby, I just went to the Center for Documentary Studies at Duke. And I love photographing. I always took photographs. I was a chef for a long time, like her. We're multitaskers, you know? I chefed and I photographed many weddings and videos for many different people, even race car drivers, authors. And I was very successful at it. But I love telling stories. I love visual storytelling. But when I was a late bloomer. When I didn't have the opportunity before. And sometimes our dreams are put off because we do what the world is telling us we should be doing. And I also am like a Lower East Side kid that comes from a very dark place that actually moved to California and fought to get to by the beach. I live in Malibu. Yes, I'm rent poor, but still, I met Michael Madsen, you know, ironically. And I directed Michael in a short that I love and he loves about schizophrenia. You know, who would have thunk that? Well, it just sort of happens when you open your heart to your dreams. And I just never gave up that. It's very difficult for a female, I'm not going to lie, to come here as a producer. I'm responsible for so many different things going on. It's an incredible you know, position of diplomacy with all these egos and all kinds of, it's very difficult, but I don't always have to be in the director's seat. I think it's important to respect every position on a film set also. Just like an actor understands all these different aspects, you should respect everything that everybody does pertaining to film, even folks that market film or do shows like this, or because they're all a part of this whole, you know.
I mean, of course. I mean, it all runs in a cycle. And, you know, since I've been out here, I've noticed, like, from the PAs to the director to the extras, mm-hmm. It doesn't work unless everybody works. Right. And that's the beauty about things, you know.
Everybody's job is important.
Everybody's job is important.
And I love them all. When I'm on a set, I love them all. It's like they're all very dear. And, you know, Jennifer is, I see that same thing. I love an actor. I love an actor. Mm-hmm. They're the colors. They're the ingredients that go into the canvas, you know, and they're, to me, I love them all. It's sad when an artist isn't finding their true potential. I think that that's a tragedy, that when there's an artist inside and they're not finding it.
Of course, yeah. One of the biggest things that I have come to see is, if you have that platform, why not go and inspire people? Why not try to help somebody pursue their dreams?
Exactly.
And that was one of the things that was hard for me. I had, like, similar to you guys, I played football my whole life. That's mm-hmm. what I thought I was going to do. Mm-hmm. But you know what? I fell in love with movies at a young mm-hmm, age. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I always told myself, after football, I'm going to just mm-hmm. go and do it. And eventually I did. And it's been hard, and there's mm-hmm. been highs and lows. And, you know, you guys both know about that. We actually all know about mm-hmm. that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think that staying inspired and staying hungry and humble, just like Tyrone says, mm-hmm. I think that really goes a long way.
Cool. Yeah, I think that particularly you coming from a football background or any background where you've had a lot of experience in a tough sport, you know, being a professional professional athlete and reflecting back, I didn't realize until years later how thick a skin you develop as an athlete, and that inner drive, that inner discipline that you have to have to stay in this game, because it's so easy to get rejected and to get down on yourself, because there's a lot of rejection involved in this industry, and you just have to keep your chin up and go, you know what? That's okay, because I'll be available for the next project that rolls around.
Cool.
You know?
No, and what we're going to do, we're going to cut into a music break, and we're going to be back more here. Brad, you're going to be introducing this song, okay? So we're going to be back more with producer Amy Williams, as well as actress Jennifer Titus from the movie Rock, Paper, Scissors, also known as Rock, Paper, Dead in the foreign markets. Is that what it is?
Yes.
And we're going to be talking a lot more about their careers, as well as their new movie that's just released. So again, before that, social media websites for the project or yourselves, really quick. We're plugging this away.
Rock, Paper, Dead on Instagram.
Yeah.
Okay, Rock, Paper, Dead.
Instagram, I'm Jennifer Titus _actor.
Okay. And then
I am Amy 19.
Oh, yeah, I always wonder where that one came out from.
I love ones and nines.
Okay,
I just do.
Cool. So it's Rock, Paper, Scissors in the domestic US. In the U.S. and then Rock, Paper, Dead.
And my handle is Amy19 Amy.
Okay, great. So what we're gonna be doing? We're coming back again with the lovely producer and one of the stars of the movie Rock, Paper, Scissors, aka Rock, Paper, Dead. After this music break, Brad, you want to take this away and introduce this new song?
Yeah, of course.
Or not? There's a song. The song that we're gonna play.
Yeah, of course. So the song is gonna by Six Gun Sal, and it's Walk Away.
All right. Again, here is Six Gun Sal. With the song Walk Away, and we'll be right back here with Amy Williams and Jennifer Titus. We'll be right back.
All genres, all indie. Listen carefully. The song you are about to hear is an actual independent music submission. Indie 100. Again the other day,
I'm getting one more.
Do I have everybody?
All right.
I give up.
We're taking some photos off the air here, but we are back here into the studio. Again, that was Walk Away by Six Gun Sal. Brad, is that your first time hearing that song?
Yeah, that was. That's such a great song.
That was a great song. What'd you think,
Amy?
I loved it.
It's awesome. Again, they were great guests of mine here. And again, Six Gun Sal. Again, it's Walk Away. If you like that song, email me, tyrone.indy100 at gmail.com. tyrone.indy100 at gmail.com. Again, the song is called Walk Away by Six Gun Sal. Check them out. Again, SIXGUNSAL. Again, great group of guys. And again, that's Six Gun Sal. And the song's Walk Away. All right, we are back here in the studio with my guests and guest co-hosts of the hour. We have my guest co-host, Bradley Beavers. Welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
Social media really quick.
My social media is going to be Brad Beavs, BradBeavs.
Awesome. And then Amy Williams. We're back with producer Amy Williams of the new movie Rock, Paper, Scissors, a.k.a. Rock, Paper, Dead. Welcome back.
What a memory.
And the lovely one of the stars of Rock, Paper, Scissors, a.k.a. Rock, Paper, Dead. I like to do that. Jennifer Titus, welcome back.
Thank you.
Great. So, so we earlier, if you just are tuning in right now, we got to talk a little bit about their background, their careers, mm-hmm. How they got started. And now we're going to be talking about more about, you know, from the point of where you guys came from. And then getting into your little, you got into film school, like kind of default, maybe. Mm-hmm. And then Jennifer, your first role of Sweet Valley High is when the kind of, and then you were going into medicine as well. And then now you're also a licensed
medical doctor.
Wow.
Yes,
that's awesome. Yeah, at the same time.
And very impressive.
So,
thank you.
When you meet guys, do they get intimidated when you say you're a doctor? I mean, actresses is one thing because you spring those into them all the time. But when they say, "Oh, I'm also Would you could say doctor? Yeah, you could.
Yeah.
Say, okay.
Yeah, I'm Dr. Titus.
Oh, wow.
But what's really funny is
Dr. Titus this summer. Coming this fall.
I had on LinkedIn, I accidentally sent an invite for LinkedIn on like my entire contact list. And a lot of these people I don't even know, or maybe I met through, I don't even remember. And I remember having actress, doctor, figure skater, or professional figure skater. And somebody responded with, yeah, right. I was like, what? Okay.
That's crazy.
Okay.
That's
okay.
Well, look at the what's just the gentleman name from the movie with Bradley Cooper where he's a doctor but he's also a comedian now.
I know in the movie his name was Alan.
Asian
actor. You're talking about
Hangover.
Hangover.
Yeah, but he was a doctor. Yeah, he was a doctor
from Duke. Yeah. He's from North Carolina, close to me.
Dr. Ken.
I actually do know. I saw him on, I believe it was James Corden.
I just saw him a couple weeks ago in a stand-up show. He's fantastic.
Then people are like, oh, wait. And he came from a medical field and now he's a...
He's a real doctor too. I saw his stand-up show on Netflix. Really check it out. Yeah, it's really good. He's super funny.
So guys, let's talk about rock, paper, scissors, aka dun, dun, dun. Rock, paper, dead. Let's talk a little bit about why you have two different titles for those that don't know the two different titles. Let's talk about the movie. Amy, you can talk about what's the movie about and describe where the title came from.
Well, it was a decision with the distribution company to change the title to Rock, Paper, Scissors. I think it's a very popular game.
Okay,
in
so
Japan,
for US. Oh, wait. So
et cetera. I just think it's a title that they felt more comfortable with, and we supplicated.
So you have it as in the US,
Rock, Paper, Scissors. And then, but internationally, it's Rock, Paper, Dead. I love Rock, Paper, Dead, the title. There's no other titles. I guess it's a matter of taste.
Okay.
I think a lot of people loved Rock, Paper, Dead. It's not going to hurt us. I think it's a cult classic, personally speaking. I love the piece. Tom Holland is a legend. Mm-hmm. And when I was a kid, I also, Friday the 13th, Chucky, Fright Night, all these things, Thinner, Langoliers. I saw all of those when I would ravenously watch anything that was new, especially if it were scary. And I just think women, 78% of the audience for scary is women.
Now, tell the audience what the movie's about and what inspired you to get involved with this particular film.
Well, I loved, like I said, I love Friday the 13th. A friend gave me the script, and the inspiration for films as a producer is always different. Like, I'll get a handful of projects, and I love scary, and I love the fact that the writer was Victor Miller, Friday the 13th, but also I had had it in a little pile, and I had read it just recently, and the person who connected me to the script I really cared about. There's always this organic thing that's a chain. I don't just take a project. So it was, my heart was in the right place with this. I got it from a friend that I cared about, through a friend I cared about, and then I met the beautiful Jennifer Titus, who was looking to work. And a lot of the time, as women, she's doing her thing, sort of a late bloomer as far as really embracing a role, and I'm sort of doing my thing, and we have to do it on our own. You know what I mean? Yeah. So I was just producing anything I could and packaging them myself and not asking a studio to help me or anything else, because it doesn't work that way. Now it's evolving, and equipment is much cheaper, and it's easier to tell our stories. And if we're good at it, it'll be, something we can do. Excuse me, but a lot easier for us now as far as getting the equipment. Technology's cheaper. So I just took it upon myself to start doing things on my own is the point I'm trying to make. Like Morrison Project that went to the Hamptons, writing things myself. I was reading things that people were giving me, and this particular script I loved. I'll always keep a handful of the ones that I liked that I could see potential for. And I met Jennifer, and she was looking for something that would be perfect for her. And I said, immediately, this is it, because I see her as sort of Kate Jackson, like the Rookies, I see her as
who do you remind me of?
I'm very visual, and I see I love packaging a script from scratch. I could see the the match there, it was perfect for her next step. And she read it and felt the same way.
Right. So let's
and tell them what it's about, Jennifer. Yeah.
And it's written. Let's give some credit to the writers, Carrie Fleming,
Victor Miller.
Victor Miller.
And his co-writer, who he mentored, was Carrie Fleming.
Awesome. Okay.
Right.
So
yeah.
Talk about what the movie's about.
Okay.
And your character.
Yeah. So let me just take a step back. When I found out it was written by Victor Miller, the creator of Friday the 13th. One of the most legendary horror film series and ever. I got really, really excited. I read the role and I, oh, forever that sound just haunted me. Nightmares. I grew up as a big scary movie fan. I'm not going to say scary horror because it was horror and psychological thriller. This is a psychological thriller, in my opinion.
Okay.
It's not a horror slasher, you know, type film. There's a lot of intelligence behind this story. So basically, this is a story about a man named Peter who had been put away for 20 years in a mental institution after killing several women, and he was let out, and he, you know, thought he was, you know, going to stay clean, and there was somebody who moved in next door to him, and that was my character, Ashley. She decided that she was going to take it upon herself to take this guy down because he killed her older sister when she was young. And so she had prepared the last 20 years of her life to take this guy down. And it was, and it turns into a game of cat and mouse because he has no idea who this girl is who moved in next door.
Wow.
So, yeah. So she has to befriend him and earn his trust. And little by little, it becomes a very thrilling chase of cat and mouse at the end.
Wow. Speaking of thrilling, you have a thrilling, great ensemble cast here.
We do.
We got from, I'm just going to list off really quickly, and you tell me if I'm missing anybody. That, you know, we got Michael Madsen, Luke McFarlane, Maureen McCormick, Tatum O'Neill, Quentin Aaron, Naharo Townsend, Jennifer Titus, Ari Lehman, Gabriel Stone, Kimberly Russell, Anne Margaret. Is it Anne? No, Anne Margaret.
Anna Margaret from Scream Queens.
Yeah, awesome. You got a plethora of great actors here. What was it like working with a great cast like that?
I was really excited. The first day, the first day I met Tom Holland was this first day I met Luke and I met Tatum O'Neill. So the four of us sat at a table and just basically talked about the film. And I was in awe of Tatum growing up as an actress. I just thought she was my idol, watching her in Bad News Bears. And I was a tomboy as well. So just meeting her, I was a little nervous. I'd never really seen anything Luke was in, but I was just thought he was charming and lovely. And they were both so professional. The whole time I worked with the two of them, I was basically just taking everything in that they knew instinctively. I learned from them. Michael Madsen, he was larger than life. I was so excited. I'm a Quentin Tarantino fan as well. So meeting him, I just didn't even know what to expect. But he was kind of what I expected. I mean, I thought he was going to be big and loud and, you know, full of personality. And sure enough, he was. So he just turned out to be a big teddy bear. He was so, so fun to work with.
And for you, Amy, what was it like working with this kind of a big of a cast? The type of personalities for you as a producer, what was the challenges and or the highlights?
Well, the thing is, I packaged them all. I cast them all. I had a very short period of time to come up with a cast, and because the director's style is sort of 80s genre, I wanted to give that texture, and that's why you have, you know, Marsha Brady and Michael Madsen. He's in those older Tarantino films, and I wanted to honor that style and give characters like that, but also put a new face in there who's brilliant, Luke McFarlane, who Brothers and Sisters with Sally Field, and he really was something special when I saw a few of his scenes in pieces, and I thought it would be really interesting, you know, and... He just really blew me away, to be honest. And him and Jennifer are so incredible together, Luke McFarlane and Jennifer. And, you know, I sort of let Tom do his thing, you know. I think Tom hadn't done a film in a little while, but I was really honored to work with someone like this. And Victor, because I'm such a horror fan.
Yeah.
I've said it before, I want to pay respect to those that open the door for that genre. So I always do, you know.
Brad, do you got any questions regarding the project or just in general of rock, paper, scissors, rock, paper, dead, or just in general of their careers right now?
Honestly, I do actually have a question about Rock, Paper, Dead or Rock, Paper, Scissors, whatever you guys want me to refer it as.
We're in the States, so yeah, Rock, Paper, Scissors.
Okay, so when does it come out?
It's out now.
It's out now. Okay.
Yeah, my friend right. just sent me a picture from Atlanta. He even bought a DVD.
Is there any way?
Yeah. Amazon.
Okay, so Amazon.
Yeah. Amazon, right. Blu-ray, also iTunes.
Awesome.
Yeah. Right, I'm going to have to check it out for sure.
So now getting to finally work together, Amy and Jennifer, was it what you expected? And more obviously, you guys are here together. But I mean, what did you find out that you did not know prior to working with Jennifer?
I was very pleasantly surprised. But I'm an intuitive person, and I feel things when I see somebody. And I just knew that that was the perfect role for her right now. So she could, because in horror, we you know, there's certain roles that I just wanted something that she could play with and really feel comfortable doing. And I knew she could with her athletic ability, her intelligence, and she had already been studying for a long time. And I just felt it really suited her. And in my opinion, she really carries the project. And aside from that, she had just had shoulder surgery and she was having Wow. fighting scenes on her own, just crushing it. I thought she's badass in the film.
Awesome.
Now, you know. Did you guys have like a choreographer there?
Yeah, we had stunt people, but Jennifer did a lot. And
Wow. I had to learn how to do a lot of swings and punches with my left hand. I had to do everything left-handed because I couldn't use my right hand, which is the shoulder I had surgery on. It was only a couple weeks out of the sling.
Mm-hmm. And I was so worried about her because I had had shoulder surgery 2 years before, and it hurts like a mother. There's no other pain like it.
Yeah, my
even childbirth couldn't compare to a shoulder surgery.
I've actually had two shoulder injuries from football, so I completely understand where you're
coming
from.
So brutal, it's so and I was brutal. So worried about her. And
I kind of downplayed what I had to do in the movie to my surgeon. He's like, what are you going to do with your shoulder? Like, oh, not much. Well, not
it's hard. It's hard with indie. It's hard with five unions in Los Angeles. It's hard with the pressures and the time constraints of shooting and schedules and personalities. It was just a lot in a very short period of time. And I was blown away by how we all managed to hold it together, especially her, because she had just had surgery. And
wow. Now, you guys, we got literally just a few minutes left. Time just creeped up on us. Really quickly, what's the ideal role you'd like to do next, Jennifer? Titus. Like, what's the role?
The ideal role for me, I would really like to do something medical, honestly. Okay. Yeah, you could put marry two of my talents together. That would be amazing.
Okay. Amy, what's the ideal kind of project you'd like to do?
You know, I'm doing a comedy that I'm super excited about with Johnny Rosenthal, just wrote it, and Sacha Cohen and Jim Carrey are fans of his. He's a genius, and I just cast Laura Wiggins as Roxy, and, you know, I'm going, it's a female director, Katie McLean, but there's so many pieces that I love that I want. I have Jossier going, I have a lot of different projects that I'm working on, and scary movies as well. Flatwoods is a sci-fi film that I really want to direct. I want to direct more, and I think it's about getting comfortable and saying I'm directing. And I've been trying to, you know, I've said this many times because it's true. Art is generous. It's not selfish. And so many people are only for about this or that. And I really like to give and share and learn. And then when it's mine, I know it and I direct it. And there's no place I love more than directing. Awesome. But I also love producing, you know?
Well, cool. So really quickly, this show is about inspiring others, and you guys be inspired. We want to inspire those. What inspirational messages can you give to someone out there that wants to do what you lovely ladies do or just follow their dreams in general? We'll start off with you, Jennifer Titus.
I say you have to create your own path. Figure out what makes you different from everybody else. Focus on that and just make it loud and clear and create your own path. I just wrote two films back to back that I'm going to be, they're going to be shooting probably in the next year. So I just decided I got to just make my own stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm going to create the roles that I want and the type of stories that I want. I'm going to write them, and I did it. And I'm very excited. I'm working with a producer, executive producer. I've got a team of people ready to shoot this thing, so I'm very excited.
Yeah. And then Amy Williams, lovely Amy Williams. What inspiring words can you give to someone that wants to do what you do?
Well, I would just say, don't ever give up. Don't ever just, if this is what you feel and you need to do, you don't have to ever give up. You can do it. There's no reason why. And you should just keep doing your own thing, doing student films, doing whatever you can to put a short together, you know, and then you move on and you can write something. And like Jennifer said, do your own thing. But it is good to experience a couple of movies that put Jennifer in this place. Like, you know, you prepare yourself with all these other experiences to be ready for these kind of things. It's a process, you know?
Luck favors the prepared.
Yes.
Well, guys, time just ran out. I want to say thank you both for coming onto the show. It's been a pleasure. Again, check out their movie. It's called Rock, Paper, City... Rock, Paper, Scissors.
Yes. We have three titles now.
Rock, Paper, Scissors. It's out now. You could get it one more time where?
iTunes, Amazon, DVD, what's the last? Blu-ray.
Awesome. Is that stores also as well?
You need to
get it? Okay, cool. Yeah. Check it out. It's Rock, Paper, Scissors here out in the U.S. And I know we're worldwide, so internationally it is known as Rock, Paper, Dead. Again, produced by the lovely Amy Williams and then also starring Jennifer Titus and a plethora of great actors. Check it out. And one more time, websites and social media, Amy Williams.
Amy19Amy.
Okay.
Instagram, Jennifer Titus_actor.
Okay. And Bradley Beavers, one more time.
Okay. My Instagram is Brad Beavs, BradBeavs.
Okay. Well, cool. So check these guys out. Brad, great job guest co-hosting. And,
thank you.
Pop your cherry here on the show, so to speak. And then Jennifer Titus, thank you. Amy Williams, always great pleasure.
You're so sweet.
And thank you.
Thank you so much for having us.
And you guys,
thank you for allowing me on this.
Too frazzled. Do you edit this stuff?
No.
Oh no.
Yeah. So okay. So well, God bless you guys. Again, that's Rock Paper Scissors, aka Rock Paper Dead. Again, it's Amy Williams, Jennifer Titus. Love you guys. God bless you guys all. And again, I always want to appreciate. I'm grateful for all you guys' listenerships. Again, I always like to end up my show. Matthew 19:26. In man, things are possible. In God, all things are possible. And we are out. Bye-bye.